Welcome to The Consult Room, the podcast that celebrates pets and people. I'm Dr. Paul Mangtalo. I'm a veterinary surgeon with a passion for the rich insights and stories about pets in the modern world that we live. Whether you're a pet owner, a pet professional, or you just love hearing about pets, then this is the space for you. What would you do if you were forced to make the decision to feed your pet or feed yourself? As the UK is plunged into a cost of living crisis, this is the reality facing many pet owners right now. Up and down the country, teams from the animal charity Blue Cross are urgently setting up pet food banks in areas of need. Their mission is to ensure that no pet goes hungry and they can provide pet food without judgment to owners who are struggling. Today, we are joined by Claire Robertson, Community Project Coordinator from the Blue Cross. Since the pandemic, Claire has dedicated her time and efforts to community work, and she's here today to talk about pet food banks, share her stories and insights around the people who need them, and offer some great advice for anyone who might be struggling to care for their pet in the current cost of living crisis. Claire, welcome to the Consult Room.
Thank you for having me.
So, Claire, why has Blue Cross decided to take on this absolutely mammoth task of setting up a national network of pet food banks?
That is a brilliant place to start. And really, this has been a grassroots project. So for the last few years, the Sheffield Rehoming Centre has been giving out pet food to owners that need it. Of course, the idea there is if that someone can afford to keep their pet at home with the family, then that's infinitely better for everyone all around, the owner, the pet, Blue Cross, if they can stay at home. And so basically, the centre has begun collecting food, collecting donations, and began handing it out as and when people asked for it. And it really began to make a difference. And that's where it began, really.
So it's really interesting that this project, where it all began, was a rehoming centre. Was that kind of set up to try and keep people and pets together? Because obviously, being unable to afford to feed your pet could be a reason why you might need to relinquish them.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. And from that point, Blue Cross took on larger research into this area and could see that this need was only growing. And with the feedback from Sheffield, it then moved on to the service moved on to other Blue Cross sites. And people would very kindly drop off, you know, maybe food that they didn't need because they, you know, their puppy's grown up, or they might buy a little bit extra and drop it off.
So what areas of the country are currently do we have pet food banks?
So fast forward, and there's a team of us, project coordinators. I myself, as you may well tell, I'm based in Scotland, central Scotland, and I am working with setting up food banks with local pets at home stores. My colleagues are based in Northern Ireland and Wales and England. So currently, we are in all four corners of our nation, and we're looking to expand the services and roll this out over the next year. And the way that is happening is teaming human food banks, as we call them, so these aren't necessarily Blue Cross sites, with pets at home stores. And we have at the moment 20 pets at home stores live over the country. So if somebody, for example, wanted to find out where they could donate pet food, then all of our sites are live on the Blue Cross website. And similarly, if somebody wants to find out where to get pet food from, again, they could have a look on Blue Cross website, and there's a really handy map on there that'll show the locations as to where we've done our work or where we're growing our work.
So how do you make the decision about where the need is? You know, how do you decide where the pet food bank needs to be situated?
Well, at the moment, because we have this amazing partnership at Pets at Home, the first question is, where are the Pets at Home stores? And then we're doing our work to find a closest food bank to them to make it as easy as possible for the food bank to receive those donations. However, it's also worth saying that we are very aware of areas where there might be more needs for whatever reason. You know, that's not for us to comment on particularly, but we do try and focus our needs where we think there might be, a greater need.
So you talked there about partnering with a human food bank, which I presume gives you access to the people that will need the pet food. And then you talk there about partnering with Pets at Home, which I presume is the partnership because that's where people are buying and then can donate.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like a really good partnership for getting the food and getting it delivered to where it's needed. But
what
is the process, though, of actually getting that all set up? Because it sounds like there's a lot of logistics involved.
There is, and we have a process and we're getting there. So day to day, my role is contacting food banks. It's hearing their stories. It's finding out what their need is. It's understanding if the need is growing. It's understanding, do you need dog food, pet food? Do you know, sometimes it's, oh, we need canary. We have a budgie or we have a rabbit. So we're not forgetting small animals. And we basically listen as much as we can to their requirements. And then it's building the relationship with our Pets at Home stores. So everyone is so open to this work, so that the staff in all the Pets at Home stores are doing such a good job to engage the public, let them know that the donations are going locally, you know, to their local food bank. And then what's interesting is that the food banks, because they're set up to do this, the human food banks, they're maybe collecting food from Tesco's or Lidl. They're able to pick up from Pets at Home as part of their, you know, their daily pickup. And it's worth saying that actually these food banks are largely run by volunteers. These are people with families and jobs. And it's really amazing to start to, it's a privilege working with food banks. These are people that are giving up their time and their energy and are working incredibly hard. And doing an amazing job. So yeah, I guess we have to say thanks to the store staff at Pets at Home for having us and having a Blue Cross donation bin, but also, you know, being able to, the food banks have been incredibly open to, you know, to working with us. And I know that the food they get, whether, you know, it's one box or a pallet of food, it goes a long way. And we've also done some really interesting work with McFarlane's. And they are essentially a haulage company, and they have given up their time to support this project. So in addition to, there's three parts. One is the Blue Cross sites, two is Pets at Home, but we're also getting large donations of pallets in. So before Christmas or just after Christmas, we delivered something like 170 pallets of food up and down the country. And we were able to do that because McFarlane's donated their logistics and their drivers to the project. And what's amazing is I've been hearing stories about over Christmas, McFarlane's drivers have been dropping off these huge pallets at local churches, at small food banks, at pantries, and helping unload pet food. And this is all in addition to their work. So it's been a huge success. And we're hoping that we can continue receiving those larger pallet donations as well. But we wouldn't be able to do that without McFarlane's support. So it's amazing.
I'm not sure of the exact statistics around pet ownership because it's changed a lot since the pandemic, but it kind of stands to reason, doesn't it, that anybody that's using a human food bank and has a pet would need the pet food. And I think before the pandemic, the statistics were about 50% of UK households own pets. So if you just work on that assumption, in theory, half the people that are using food banks would also need pet food. Is that kind of the assumptions that you're using as well?
I think that's, in theory, that's an assumption. However, again, I mean, I don't like to make assumptions because times are changing. And if there's a need, there's a need. And we really take that approach. You know, we work with food banks' own processes. We don't impose our own. If somebody says that they need support, we take that on face value. So again, I would steer away from putting a number on it at this point. You know, things are changing. Yeah. Sadly, the need is increasing month on month.
Do you know how many people are currently using pet food banks across the UK?
Oh, gosh, that is a statistic that I probably could find out for you, but I don't have the number off the top of my head. I wouldn't like to hazard a guess. Some of the larger organisations, you know, are working with hundreds and hundreds of people day in, day out, you know, but then you have like local schools and pantries and churches, you know, that are maybe not necessarily recorded as such. So, yeah, I think there probably is an official number, but I would put that as considerably larger than maybe what we're seeing reported.
I guess a lot of this activity, like you say, the community takes the initiative to set these things up. So it's really difficult, really hard to track, isn't it? Because there isn't any central, you know, kind of database of numbers. So, but it just demonstrates the need, really, doesn't it?
It does. And this is very much a human story. I mean, of course, we are doing our absolute best to, you know, provide data and numbers where we can. But ultimately, the bigger picture is that if a pet can stay at home and an owner gets a little bit of support to feed that animal, ultimately, you know, it's mental health, isn't it? It supports people to live well, to live better, to, you know, and maybe that food donation they get for their pet then may mean that they can, you know, use that money towards themselves, to feed themselves. And that's something that we hear again and again, which is really important for Blue Cross, is that people will feed their pets before themselves. And that's where our work, I feel, so important with the food banks, to support that. And so people don't have to go hungry because they're, you know, terrified of losing their pet. Because as we know, pets are family.
So you've spent a lot of time working in these food banks. What are they like?
They are incredibly well run, logistical. They're very slick at what they do. They all have their own separate processes, and they're run by people, human beings that are giving up time, energy, effort. You know, they are grafting. These people are out at 5 a.m. to do their delivery collections. And the other side of this is that, you know, they are seeing firsthand the people that are coming to collect food. And that's often difficult. You know, that's the bottom line, is that, yeah, we can work hard, we can pick up deliveries, we can run organizations, find logistics, find numbers, but ultimately, you know, handing over food to a person in crisis, you know, is difficult. And so they're really to be commended for the work they do.
So it sounds like quite a skill set, Claire. You know, you have to be incredibly organized, because there's this whole logistics of, you know, moving this food at pace and you know, consolidating the donated food into parcels and packages. But also there's that empathy and all those people skills, because obviously I guess people that are coming into the food banks are really struggling, aren't they? And you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's really important to say is that if somebody is thinking about contacting a food bank, there's no shame, there's no judgment, you know, struggle is struggle. And, you know, people can be signposted. So a lot of these organizations will offer, you know, other services or point you in the right direction. So I've spoken to so many community organizations that say it's not just about collecting food. It's about having a cup of tea and being like, here's a little bit of support. I know it's only one box. Come back if you need more and have a conversation. And how are you? What's going on? Do you know, can we put you in touch with other services? And so many food banks I've spoken to, that's to their core. And they might, yes, they might be running a food bank, but they might also be running community art services or kind of come for a cup of tea and a chat kind of thing, getting people together. So these places really are at the heart of the community. And I think it's also worth saying that, we could all be at some point in the position where we have to, you know, ask for a little bit of support. And food banks and getting food for yourself, your family, your pet is no different. I was talking to someone recently who said that they dropped a box of food off with a lady and she had no idea that anything was going to come anytime soon. I think she'd reached out and they got something to her fairly quickly. And she, at the door, she just burst into tears and was so grateful for someone just listening to her. And then what was interesting was actually she didn't then need the support after that. So there are people that maybe just need, they might need a couple of months support because the bills are too high, or I don't know, like there's so many reasons that are going on at the moment. But you don't have to be somebody who's suddenly needs long-term support. You could just be someone that's having a bit of a hard time and needs to reach out. And I remember John was telling me at Sheffield, there was somebody who had support and come in, and I think he'd taken, I'm not sure how long he was supported for, but they had a cup of tea and a chat. And then I think a couple of weeks later, he'd written a handwritten note and saying, thank you, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your support that week. And he put in £5 to support the food bank. And I think that really sums it up. Do you know, it is about getting food, but it's also about giving people a little bit of time. And that's what these people are doing at food banks. They're giving people a little bit of time.
This episode is sponsored by Superdog from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. As a vet, I would always encourage a healthy, balanced diet for your dog. But like us, all dogs are different. So giving a vitamin supplement can act as an insurance policy to make sure you're meeting your dog's nutritional needs. Superdog's chewable, tasty braised beef tablets are packed with over 21 nutrients, expertly formulated for your special companion, including linseed oil to help maintain a glossy coat, greenlip muscle to maintain joint health, and zinc and selenium to provide immune support. In a recent study, Superdog was recommended by 96% of dog owners. Dogs absolutely love them. I've personally seen improvements in many, many dogs whose owners have given Superdog vitamins for just a few weeks. Superdog is available now at Amazon, Ocado, Paws, Superdrug, and Vitabiotics.com. So you've really brought to life the essence of these food banks as the heart of the community, but providing that really vital support. How do you find that experience working alongside the people that not only run the food banks, but providing the help? Have you got any experiences you want to share?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been incredibly eye-opening and heartwarming to see the work that's happening. And I think sometimes, you know, my role is to go and see food banks, understand food banks, see the people that are working there. And I remember, I think it was just before Christmas, going to see a food bank. It was on the outskirts of Edinburgh. And there was a queue of people. And I actually popped my head in and I said, I can see you're really busy, and left the Blue Cross card and said, let me know if there's anything we can support with in terms of pet food. And there was a guy in the queue, and he had his wee staffy with him. I've got staffy. And we just chatted for a little bit, and he told me his story. You know, he goes and collects pet food weekly, and if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't be able to look after his pet. And, you know, that just told me about how his pet's his world, you know, that's his family, and it keeps him going. It's what gets him up in the morning. It gives him routine and something to care for. And it was heartbreaking. It was, you know, it was great to hear his story, and just kind of wished I could offer him more in that moment. And I think that the other thing is, you know, he's talking about vet bills and how expensive they are. And that's something that as an organization, we're also, you know, acutely aware of, and something that, you know, I know that, you know, people are working on. But yeah, I think that really brought it home for me to hear the, actually, if he wasn't able to get that food, then, you know, the thing that he cherishes most in his life, his little staffy, wouldn't, you know, he'd have to give that up. So it makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I think, you know, obviously anything that's keeping people and pets together is phenomenal work. Do you find it hard? Because it feels like that is just, as you were talking there, I felt the kind of the emotion in your voice. Is it hard to do this work?
Do you know, it's kind of feels like a privilege, actually. It's a privilege to be in a role where we can, I'm hesitant to say make a difference, right? Because we're just, there's a need, and we are trying to fulfill that need, even in the smallest way. But yeah, it's hard when you hear the real life stories, but it's also a privilege at the same time to meet people, and to also to see that, you know, as you're aware, there is a lot of the press is often challenging at the moment to hear what our country is going through and what people are going through. But for me, I see people doing amazing jobs, amazing work, helping people, supporting others. And I think just a little bit more of those kind of stories is what we all need at the moment. So yes, sometimes it is a little bit hard, but it's a privilege. And yeah, we'll keep doing what we do.
So when I visited a pet food bank in Grimsby, actually, mm-hmm. which is next to the Blue Cross Hospital, I was chatting to a lady that was in work and mm-hmm. actually worked mm-hmm. as a nurse. And I was quite surprised by that. But it's really important, isn't it? And I know it's on all the literature for the food banks that there's the services are provided without judgment. And I think, you know, that's a really important message, isn't it? That actually there are all sorts of people struggling at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, that's exactly it. And that's where we are seeing, and the reason why we are seeing the increase in need, which is only sadly growing. And it's why we are doing the work we're doing. So yes, I would absolutely echo that.
One thing that I've heard is that people that are using these food banks do feel a sense of shame. Is that something that you've experienced?
I am of the opinion that as a organization going out there into local communities, that we begin to change the narrative. So I would shy away from using the word shame. I mean, I would like to think that we can approach this in the sense that if there's a need, that need is met and the support is offered. And yes, probably that plays into it, but I think it's time we start to move away from that, because I think, yeah, we all find ourselves in different situations, and whatever's going on in our lives, we shouldn't feel ashamed. We should be able to ask for help and support and to move on from that.
I really like that phrase you've used, changing the narrative. I think it comes up quite a lot, doesn't it? Especially when you're delivering charitable services, that actually, like you just said there, if you need the help, it's there, get it. Don't listen to these narratives that people portray about people that are using the services. Just go and get it. And
reach out and ask. And I think that goes beyond pet food as well.
We know there are people who are currently struggling to afford pet care. How do people find pet food banks?
How do they find them? That's a great question. I would say the first thing to do is to go on the Blue Cross. I mean, if we're talking pet food specifically, go onto the Blue Cross website, and there's a map there, and that will show you very clearly where there is a food bank that we are supporting, or where our own sites are. And I would say, reach out to them, reach out to either our site by phone or email, and also similarly with the food bank. I mean, it's worth saying that food banks all work in different ways. So we've been using the term food bank, but there's also pantries and, you know, community churches. So it's always worth dropping them an email or a phone call and finding out when they're open, how they can support you, because each food bank will have, or pantry or organization will have, slightly different setup. So it's worth just putting that call or touching base first. Of course, the Trussell Trust is an amazing organization. And again, you can go onto their website, and that's for food bank, human food banks. And again, they have maps, and we'll show you exactly where you can reach a human food bank.
But what you described earlier was the logistical operations of a pet food bank. So I'm sure that there are ways that people can help along that journey. So
yes.
how do people help, and how do they offer the help?
So the first thing is, keep an eye out on your Pets at Home store, because there will be a Blue Cross bin appearing over the next year. I think we have 20 stores live at the moment. If you're in my neck of the woods, then we have the Linlithgow Pets at Home is open and collecting donations. They have been amazing. So yeah, donate pet food when you're in, you know, if you're buying 12 cans for your dog or your cat or whatever it is, maybe you can pop one or two or more in the food bank. So that's the first thing. The other thing is, in terms of Blue Cross, is that it's, while the donations are an amazing boost, actually the feedback has been that of course, ministry donations make a big difference because they will go direct to the food bank or the pantry and they can buy in exactly what they need. So of course they might go, oh, we've got loads of cat food, but we need some dog food. And if they've got a monetary donation, then they can go and get what they need and meet their supply demands. So again, on the Blue Cross website, /pet food banks, there will be details on how you could donate a monetary donation.
Fab. So donate money, donate food. That's
exactly that. Yes.
obviously there are areas of pet care beyond food that people mm-hmm. would potentially be struggling with in the current mm-hmm. economic mm-hmm. climate. Do Blue Cross or yourself have any more advice for people?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Have a look on the Blue Cross website. There is loads of information regarding help and support, obviously, with food banks, with pet bereavement services, with veterinary care, and also behaviour and training services. So really, it's about Blue Cross really is supporting you to help your pet live their best life.
Claire, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to you and the whole team who have taken on this mammoth task mm-hmm. to set up a national network of food banks. The demand is clearly there. The need is clearly there. And I think it's great that you guys have taken up this initiative. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Paul, for talking to me today, because anything that helps get the message out is wonderful. So thanks for your time.
I just want to take the opportunity to thank Claire and the teams at Blue Cross, who are working tirelessly to set up a network of national pet food banks in the UK. I'm going to close this episode with words directly from the Blue Cross. No pet should have to go hungry, and no one should have to choose between feeding themselves or feeding their pets. Hard times can happen to anyone, and with pets in the family, there are more bowls to fill when money is tight. If you're struggling to afford food for your cat, your dog, or small pet, we're here for you and we'll be happy to welcome you to our Blue Cross Pet Food Banks without judgment.
You've been listening to The Consult Room. I really hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please do subscribe, follow, or share this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to get in touch or collaborate, then do reach out to us at theconsultroom.co.uk or connect with me on social media as Dr. Paul the Vet or Dr. Paul Magdalone.